It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
All right, here's fair warning for you this morning. If you're a Starbucks aficionado, and I'll just stop myself right there and say if you're a Starbucks aficionado, you probably already know this. The app is not working this morning, at least for advance orders. Now, it works if you walk into a Starbucks and pay on the app, but otherwise, just to keep you from driving off the road or sending you into a state of panic, just be advised, you're going to have to walk into the store. And as I said to the barista, you're going to have to force an antisocial society to interact if you want your cup of coffee. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260, where we're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, I do realize, I know somebody, I think, called in on the Blitz. There's a little bit, not a little bit, there's a technical issue with 101.9 this morning in some areas. And I would say two things. A, they're working on that, trying to make sure that's cleared up and back up and running. B, you can hear it loud and clear on AM 1260 up there if you have any issue with 104.9. So, and obviously, we're always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. And I know a lot of folks listen that way, and we do appreciate that. My name is Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Jeff Howe will be along shortly. He was doing the wrap-up and the recap from last night's and yesterday's full day in Houston, what with the Houston Touchdown Club and Steve Sarkisian and the things that Sark said at the Touchdown Club, and then last night at the Texas Fight Rally, which was a lot of fun over at Braeburn Country Club. We were over there last night with Sark and with Vic Schaefer and with Chris Del Conte. And those of you who listen to the program regularly, you know what a engaging sort of fellow Vic Schaefer is. He just, and did this on his own when we were just getting ready to wrap up everything last night. After the Q&A, and we're sitting up there on stage and we're taking questions, and yes, all manner of things from Longhorn Network to 11 a.m. kick to name, image, and likeness to transfer portal to all of those kinds of things. Vic leans over to me and says, "Don't let him leave the room yet. We're going to help him raise some money." I was like, "What? Okay." Was it part of the run of show, so to speak, the script? So I said, "Okay." So we said, "Everybody, hold up." And Vic Schaefer stands up, takes the mic, and says, "Okay, we're going to raise some money right now for the Texas Axes," and he auctioned off an opportunity for a fan or fans to sit on the bench with next to him, he said, in a basketball game of their choosing. He said, "I mean, conference game, it could be Baylor, it could be a non-conference game, early in this, and whatever you want, we'll auction that off." And he got two, I believe, $7,000 bids for that. So we wound up raising $14,000 for Texas through that. So that's Vic in a nutshell, that he could do something like that and just boom, turn it around and did that. So it was a lot of fun last night. We'll have the complete recap and a lot of what Sark had to say yesterday when Jeff pops in here in just a few minutes. Also, coming up, bottom of the hour, Coach Edric Floreal, Coach Flo, the Texas men's and women's track coach, will be checking in with us. They come off winning back-to-back, and in the case of the women, back-to-back-to-back Big 12 outdoor championships, back-to-back for the men, and getting ready for the NCAA postseason. So we'll visit with Coach Flo coming up in our Longhorn Notebook segment at the bottom of the hour. Also, we're going to hear from Ivan Melendez here in a few minutes with Texas preparing to have that baseball series against Kansas tonight. Next hour, we'll have some comments from David Pierce with regard to getting ready for Kansas, the ramifications of where they are, and also, yes, what has become the hot-button topic in college baseball this week, cancellation of certain games. So there will be that we'll hear. We'll also, that'll be next hour. Later this hour, we'll also have Inconceivable. We'll have that coming up as well. Our producer, a man behind the glass, the purveyor of all good things, Flex ATX, because after all, in the final analysis, Flex, where he was flexing last night, that would be Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. Rod Babers knows him as J.J. Don. I was listening to that yesterday as I was driving down to the airport to go over to Houston. How you feeling, J.J. Don?
You are what they call you.
You are what they call you. Okay. All right. Now, you were pretty busy yesterday. Were you were at whose spring practice?
I started the evening at Hutto spring practice. And their new stadium, Hutto, Memorial Stadium, is, I want to say it's top, if not the best.
One of the top flight.
I would say top two or three.
Wow. That's good.
It looks so awesome. The entrance, they have two concession stands. They look like they belong at Barton Creek Mall. Mm. Like, the two concession stand thing, I'm sure more people do have it, but it's all on the same side. It's really nice.
That's cool. All right.
It's worth the wait.
Okay. And then Zach Lucero started Flex ATX last night, and you got back here for some of it afterwards?
Yeah, at the end, I caught up with Keaton Kubeka. He's gotten bigger. And let me tell you, guys, he still had 70 catches, 700 yards, and 13 touchdowns with Jayden Greathouse on the other side and with Jack Kaiser running for 2,000 yards.
Right.
He is a legit, I don't want to say NFL because maybe his speed is a little slow, but he's going to play D1.
Okay. All right. So, and we also have, obviously, a Flex 30 update coming up in the second hour. As I mentioned, we would be joined shortly. Shortly has come and gone, and he is here. He is, obviously, the pride of Northwest Williamson County and a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn straight, always.
You knew him best for his outstanding work and still know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7, where he was grinding and cranking it out after yesterday's events in Houston. That would be Jeff Howe.
You gotta, when you have an event like that, you got to pick and choose what needs to go out immediately. And, you know, it's a gamble. It's a roll of the dice. I was going to kind of do a bullet point blow by blow of the touchdown club function yesterday.
Sure.
And one of our good members on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7 actually just cataloged all my tweets. I was like, oh, well, I guess that's one less thing I have to worry about doing. So
you can set that up in order.
Appreciate the assist. So
you had someone taking dictation from you, so
to speak. So I basically just went and did an article on quarterback recruiting. Sark can't mention Arch Manning by name. But he was asked, hey, you know, during the press conference portion of the touchdown club, two different deals. And he had the luncheon and a little press conference before. He was asked, hey, do you get to a point where, you know, you kind of go to plan B, go to backup plan? Because we all know what plan A is for Texas recruiting quarterbacks in 2023. They haven't offered anybody other than Arch Manning to this point, and there's a reason why.
So who asked him that? Plan B.
It wasn't phrased like that, but just basically, do you give yourself a timetable on, you know, because you want to get a quarterback.
That's smart.
Yeah, you don't want to be left at the end of the day, well, we didn't get a quarterback. Basically, the all your eggs in one basket approach.
I could see Sark just looking at somebody, asked him if they phrased the words plan B.
No, it wasn't phrased like that. I'm just, you know, summarizing the question.
Yeah, sure.
But Sark said, hey, look, he said a couple of things. He said, look, if I felt like I needed to go in a different direction, I would. And then he went on to say, look, I didn't panic last year with the offensive line. Not going to panic this year or any other year with the quarterbacks. So they are, if you needed any other hint, indication, as close to a legitimate confirmation publicly as you can get from the head coach without him being able to give one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all in on Arch Manning.
Sure.
They're taking their chances. And, you know, Mike Roach has continued to report. Mike's got as good of a feel on that recruitment as anybody, as good or better than anybody in the Texas market. Mike said, hey, it's going to be a battle, but they are willing to get in the fight, and they're very much in the fight right now.
Same thing certainly with Jordan Addison.
Yeah, that one, you just want to go ahead and do like a little recap of yesterday and last night right
here? Let's do it. First thing, you know, we're sitting there talking about, you know, Snoop's nicknames. You know, we say, you know, J.J. Donaldson, joking about that, and Rod was calling him J.J. Don, you know, referring to that. So how about our man up in Belton calling it J-Ho?
It's what everybody in high school and college used to call me.
Really? So J-Ho?
Yeah, because there's a lot of Jeffs, and they're just shortening a little bit.
Okay, all right. Hey,
Snoop. It wasn't because you were promiscuous?
Yeah.
No.
Snoop, quick question. Somebody asking, are you
far from it, Snoop, at that point in time in my life.
Somebody asking, Snoop, are you going to be at the Cedar Park spring game and watch that new potential stud quarterback who's going to be the incoming junior? Kid's a tough one, lost his mom and sister in a terrific car accident back in August and played less than the week after that and threw 6 touchdown passes.
Is he talking about Aiden Arp? I don't know who. Hold on. Yes, but yes, I will.
The question is, are you going to the spring game?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I did not hear that story, though. Whoa.
Okay. Phil saying, yeah, that AM 1260 is loud and clear in the Big H. And by Big H, he means
just listen
Hutto,
on the app, people.
Not Houston.
Hey, I listened to the first segment of yesterday's show on my way trip down to Houston on the app. By the way, shout out Coach Ty Harrington for sitting in yesterday.
Yes, did a great job. Ty, on his way up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he's going to do this remotely, but he's working the Southland Conference, the first incarnation of this year's Southland Conference baseball tournament. Like we said, they're kind of doing like regional and super regional. They have two 14 brackets and then a best of three. I'm with you. I think it's good.
That's a format the mid-majors should copy.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have a chance to get your best teams out there without just completely, you know, destroying your pitching staff and all of that. We'll get to a little Longhorn baseball in a minute. We're going to hear from Ivan Melendez. However, let's let me point this out. We have not and are not going to ignore the comments made by Nick Saban last night in Birmingham. Jeff, you sent me the link to the tweet?
I sent you the link to the tweet. So on my drive back, I was on the phone with Mike Roach, and I noticed Mike is trailing off in the conversation, and I'm like, you good? He's like, Nick Saban went after Jimbo apparently at some deal in Birmingham and told me about the tweet. So I pulled over to get gas and saw the tweet, and I was like, just blown away. Like, it was as off-brand as something could be off-brand for Nick Saban, like to name names. And then I found the video. Well, first I texted you.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, like, hey.
And I was still on the plane coming back.
I'm like, dude, check that out.
Actually, you went, holy, and you figure out the rest.
Yeah. I was like, man, because that just doesn't, that's very un-Saban-like for Nick Saban to go there and name names.
Right.
Then I find the video. And taking shots at Jackson State, taking shots at Miami. Like, and again, you made a good point when we were texting back and forth. If you watch the video, it is in a different context than when you just read it on Twitter. That said, dude, he's the last coach I would expect to just name names.
Here's the actual audio of that one specific piece of what Nick Saban said about Texas A&M. He did not say anything about Jimbo Fisher or mention him by name in the study. It was mainly just about the comparison of what name, image, and likeness has done with regard to recruiting.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
Yeah. Now,
can I interrupt you real quick? Jimbo Fisher's addressing the comments right now.
I was going to get to that. I was going to get to that just to put a bow on Nick Saban, and then we'll open the floor for that. To your point, Jeff, and what I originally texted you back last night, when you just hear it or see it, it doesn't sound as inflammatory. It's more like a comparison contrast. But it is the use of the words bought player. When you have those words in there, that's going to do that. And it certainly looks a lot worse when you read it in print. It reminds of that old story, Jeff, when Abe Lemons was coaching the Texas basketball team, and they had a big showdown with Arkansas. And Eddie Sutton was coaching Arkansas. And they had some great wars in the Southwest Conference in the late 70s to early 80s. And they had a deal where they got nose-to-nose in a game. And Abe Lemons called Eddie Sutton a name that starts with a C and ends with an R. And you can probably figure it out. So Eddie Sutton was very, very upset about that. And said something to his athletic director, Frank Broyles, who then called Darryl Royal, who was, of course, his good friend. And Coach Royal was the athletic director at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he had sent a letter. There was a letter that came even from the president of the University of Arkansas or something like that. So it comes in there, and Coach Royal calls in Abe Lemons, and he says to Coach Lemons, he pushes the piece of paper across the desk, and he goes, look at that, and he goes, did you really, really call him that? He looks at it and he goes, man, that word looks a lot worse on paper than in person when you read it. So when you read the quote, it does come off as far more inflammatory than if you just hear it in sort of a comparison contrast context. That said, those words, bought and players, were put together in a phrase. That's what's going to be the buzz phrase. And so now I yield the floor to you, Mr. Howe, because of Jimbo Fisher calling a news conference that started a few minutes ago specifically to address this tweet, correct?
I've just got the Yahoo Sports college football. Apologies to my folks at Paramount and CBS Sports, but this is the first feed I found. Okay, so I'm just going to read from the Yahoo College Sports College Football Twitter account. Are you ready? Snoop, can I get some kind of music? I just need something. Flex bed is fine. Tweet number one. Jimbo Fisher called Nick Saban a, quote, narcissist. I cannot believe this.
The whole country nods, quote, in agreement.
This is Jimbo Fisher on Nick Saban. Quote, we've built him up to be the czar of college football. Go dig into his past. Tweet number two. Jimbo Fisher said Nick Saban called him, but he wouldn't accept the phone call. Quote, unquote, we're done. Jimbo Fisher again on Nick Saban. There's a reason I ain't gone back and worked for him. I don't want to be associated with him. Jimbo Fisher, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and you learn how not to do things.
Mm.
Jimbo Fisher referenced the, quote, operation and tactics of Nick Saban's programs. Quote, before he said that, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? End quote. Tweet from Dan Wetzel. Now he's hammering Saban for his, quote, operations and tactics, all but declaring that Saban has been violating NCAA rules for years. Jimbo Fisher on meeting Nick Saban at the upcoming SEC meetings. Quote, I don't mind confrontation. I kind of like it myself. Backing away from it isn't the way I was raised. Tweet from Dan Wetzel. Jimbo, I don't cheat and I don't lie. I learned that as a kid. Old man would slap you upside the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
Wow.
Again, tweet from Jimbo Fisher. There has never been parity in college football. Certain people never followed the rules anyway.
Whew.
Dude.
Well, shot across the bow, returned.
And I think my favorite thing on Twitter last night was like Lane Kiffin sitting back like Kelso in that 70s show, just being like, oh, burn, and like just
right.
Innocent bystander just, you know, sitting back and having fun with it. Man, dude, that is like every kind of, you can go ahead and cut to bed, Snoop. I'm done reading tweets. Thank you, sir. Every year, Craig, we get into college football offseason, and every year it just feels more and more like we're in a fever dream for a few months. It is just so wild, man. But, yeah, man, Jimbo Fisher not happy at all with what Nick Saban said last night.
Okay. All right.
I got to find this video during the break.
Yeah, to see what it's all right. In the meantime, you wanted to recap yesterday.
Yeah, let's go ahead and recap last night.
Yep.
A long day yesterday.
Sure.
Touchdown Club of Houston luncheon. So Sark said a few things in the the press conference was pretty par for the course from what we've heard from Sark this spring. And I think to a large extent, the luncheon was par for the course. I'll give Sark credit for this. Now initially, I was on with Aaron yesterday, and and I said, hey, Sark has done a really good job of not making these wholesale statements where he can paint back himself into a corner and, you know, something that you can pull up in November if things aren't going a certain way and look
you
back.
You said back in May, fill in the blank.
Yeah. And initially at the Touchdown Club luncheon, I thought, man, did he go there? But going back and listening to the comments again, because I recorded the lunch. I've got the luncheon audio on my computer. You know, I think it was more of, and I'll give Sark credit for this. I think he just read the room, and within the framework of some of the same things he said at some of these similar functions, I think he just read the room the right way, because that the Touchdown Club luncheon room was a little bit different than some of the other places where he's given addresses so far. You had Mattress Mac there getting everybody fired up. You know, Vince Young was there in the front row because on VY's birthday. And that, you know, I've done some speaking engagements with like the Houston Lunch Bunch, and a lot of those folks were there. Those are your really hardcore Texas football fans. They don't want generic fluff. They want to know about the third string left guard. They want to know some of the stuff I get into, like, hey, what's your snapping situation going to be? Who's going to be your backup center? Like,
right.
they want to get into that nitty-gritty. And I think that was Sark really addressing a no-fluff kind of crowd, reading the room and addressing it the way he needed to address it. When he talked about he doesn't give an S what the kickoff time is for the Alabama game.
Put the ball down and let's go. Yeah,
talking about 5-7 is 5-7. It sucks. He didn't mince words there either. So a little more blunt than we've heard Sark be, but I think the address was – it wasn't like outlandish. I wouldn't describe him as demonstrative. I thought that was, thinking back on it and sleeping on it, I think it was dang near perfect for that room and the kind of people that were there to hear him speak.
There you go. As we speak right now, Sark is on a flight. He's on a plane to L.A. He's going to hang out with Sean McVay for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And folks may know this. I don't know how many know that. Sark, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, all of them pretty tight, hang together, share ideas, and the brand new head coach of the Dolphins, McDaniel, the one who was the Packers OC,
Mike McDonald.
All right, he's
the former Ravens defensive coordinator.
Yes, he also in that group of guys that they're pretty tight. They share a lot of ideas and talk. And Sark is going out to see his son play 7-on-7. And then he's gonna be there for the Rams OTAs. There's a sharing of ideas and that sort of stuff. He said these guys, and I asked him about it, he said these guys, he said they're all brilliant offensive minds. Because he said at the Texas fight, I'm going to go out to L.A. and see if I can. What did he say? I'm going to go
find a touchdown or two.
Find a touchdown or two. There's this the sharing of ideas and all. He said all of these guys are outside-the-box thinkers, the way you described it. And so they're all really, really, really intelligent, and not just about football.
Hey, give me those coaches again in that cluster.
Well, the ones for sure that he mentioned are Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the ones that he regularly associates with.
Correct me if I'm wrong, were they all on the same staff together in Washington?
In Washington,
yeah,
Right. Talked about that. So they all know each other very, very well, and there's regular conversation and all that kind of stuff. And for folks who go, well, Rams and 49ers are division, I don't think there's necessarily between McVay and Shanahan this real swapping of ideas. But they are good friends and work together in Washington on the same staff.
The common interest is talking ball. Right. Like Rod's good friends with Kyle Shanahan. Rod's talked about this on Ball Don't Lie. He's talked about it on the Blitz a lot. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have a lot of hobbies outside of ball. Like Kyle Shanahan's idea of a great day in the offseason is locking himself in the film room for 16 to 18 hours and just breaking it down.
And one of the questions, you saw it last night, the Texas fight thing, they were asking Vic Schaefer and CDC and also Sark about what they like to do when they kind of relax or let their hair down and all this kind of stuff. And Vic was talking about he's getting ready to go on, I think, to Argentina to do some hunting. I forgot some of the stuff that CDC talked about, some of the leisure things. He said doesn't have much time to do that stuff. And Sark said, I just love the game. I love the being there and watching the game and soaking it all up. This is an example of it, being able to take a couple of days before they get on May 31st when players report for the summer. So he's got just this little window where he can do some of that stuff and, as you repeated, and as he said, try to find a couple touchdowns, you know, visit with Sean McVay and that sort of thing. With regard to Jordan Addison, I know that there was a family meeting last night. And because everybody right now is doing the Judge Smales. Well, we're waiting. Everybody's doing that, but the family's taking its time.
Yeah,
that's where it's. And Sark was asked about Jordan Addison last night.
Yeah, that's what I want to get
Texas
to.
Texas fight.
Yeah, he was asked point blank, and this is why I said that Houston crowd. It's a pretty football savvy crowd. Like, they know what's going on, and he was asked point blank by somebody. You know, are Jai Hall and Jordan Addison coming to Texas? And he couldn't even mention Jordan Addison's name. It's an NCAA violation.
Couldn't even
does.
Say his name and didn't.
And all he said was he said, "There's a young man out there who hasn't made a decision yet, and we'll see what happens."
Yeah.
Which that could be anybody.
Yeah.
Could be any recruit.
Could be
any. The big news, though, that we hadn't heard yet on Ajay Hall was that he actually has signed a financial aid agreement. Now, here's the thing with the financial aid agreement. It's not like a national letter of intent. Doesn't bind you to the school. It binds the school to you once you sign that aid agreement. And Sark address the reports, if you want to call them that came out the other day where I about lost my mind.
I started to say he said it in almost the exact same fashion you did in terms of, yes, there was he's not on the roster because he never enrolled.
Right.
He hasn't enrolled.
He was never put on the roster to be removed from the roster because he hasn't enrolled yet. And as far as the social media stuff, which we reported that a few weeks ago, and we've talked like – Chip Brown has talked to Ajay Hall since all that happened, and he gave glowing marks about Texas and Sark and his relationship with people in the program. Sark said they basically helped him scrub his social media accounts.
Yeah, so there might have been some help in there from
yeah,
that. Yeah,
so stop reading. First off, stop reading so much into what folks put on social media. Second of all, as I said Tuesday, as we reported at Horns 24/7 later that day, and as Sark said last night, just much ado about nothing. Just people trying to find a story that's not there.
All right. We need a break. When we come back, Coach Flo will join us. Edward Floreal, Texas men's and women's track and field coach, talk about their Big 12 championships for the men's and women's. We'll visit with him about that. We'll hear from Ivan Melendez. We also have Inconceivable. A lot to come yet here on this Thursday on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app at hornfm.com. Somebody on the Specs text line said Craig should host a roundtable with that group. I will be moderating a panel discussion this summer, but that will be with all the Division I head football coaches in the state of Texas. That does not include Alabama or the SEC or whatever, other than, of course, Texas A&M being in the SEC. And you'll be able to hear, we're going to bring you those comments from Jimbo Fisher coming up past the top of the hour. Right now it's time for the notebook.
Longhorn Notebook.
And what better way to start off this notebook than to go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and welcome the head coach of Texas men's and women's track and field. That's Coach Flo. Edward Floreal joins us now. Coach, I appreciate the time. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Just hanging in there.
Hey, you're more than hanging in there. I mean, my goodness. Texas won the men's and women's 100 meter, the 200 meter, the 400 meter, runner up in both the 5,000 meter. Fifth time in school history, the Longhorns have swept both the indoor and outdoor in the same season. Now, you know, some folks may get used to the standard of excellence that you and your staff have done with your athletes. But does it still impress you to see the dominant way with which they attack what they do, their work on a daily basis, and then take it to the track themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think winning, once kids learn to win and have develop a taste and appreciation for it, it's almost like easier to repeat, you know. So until you win your first championship, we just have a different team, and the kids have enjoyed the infield celebration and the national championship brings and the conference championship brings. So it's almost like at some point it's I don't want to say autopilot, but it gets a whole lot easier. But I am definitely happy to the fact that we have this level of talent, number one, and number two, that they recognize what they're capable of doing and that they embrace that. And I don't have to keep yelling and screaming at them that we can be great, that they believe that themselves now.
Yeah, when's the last time you had to yell and scream at any of them?
you'd be surprised. I still got to do some yelling and screaming. But in competition, it's sort of us against them mentality, which I've always wanted them to have, and they have that in their own. So I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to get your thoughts on some of the individuals who are really, really big on this. We've talked about, I know in the past when you joined us, about Christine Blazevica and what and going undefeated in the multi events of the conference meet. Tripp Appare winning his ninth Big 12 shot put title. Julian Alford running the third fastest time ever in the NCAA in the 100 prelims, and then Micaiah Harris sweeping the sprint double in the 100 and the 200. How much of it, Flo, is the young men and young ladies playing off of and getting a boost from the excellence they see their teammates execute and really converting it into their own special performances?
Yeah, it's now momentum. You know, they're just feeding off each other. One person does something great, then the next person sort of wants their name on the paper or their kudos, and they step up and do something great, and you know, like they say in the championship, they become contagious. Everybody sort of wants to be part of it, just be part of what's going on in the team. And I think it's kind of where we are. And the team itself gels. I mean, these kids are spending a lot of time with each other, and they're very comfortable on what they're doing and who's doing what. And they're very self-aware of what a team is, the mover and the shaker and things like that.
Yeah, I know that has a lot to do with it, too. The other thing I was going to ask you about is Jonathan Jones, who continues to add to his legacy, won the 400-meter dash on the men's side, school record time of 44.43, and becoming the first Longhorn to win the event in 8 years since 2014. I would imagine that's something special, not only for him, but for you watching these athletes check the boxes on what few unattainable or in the past unattained marks now have been checked off the list, like this one winning for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have visions and dreams for these kids based on what you think they can and can't do, and to watch that come to fruition is really cool. You know, like you can imagine stuff all you want, but until the kid actually do it, it's just a coach dreaming and visualizing what an athlete can do. So the cool thing is when they embrace that vision, that sort of vision we have for them, and then they make it their own, then, you know, the fun really begins as a coach, because they have to realize how good they can be.
Visiting with Coach Flo here, talking Texas men's and women's track and field with the outdoor titles. Fifth time the Longhorns in Big 12 history have swept both the men's and women's indoor and outdoor titles, 99, 06, 2015, last year, and this year as well. So, Flo, it's on the NCAAs now, and obviously national titles certainly would be attainable. How about your thoughts on what you're looking for out of your group when you head to nationals?
Yeah, I mean, right now the regionals is really not about winning or losing. It's just about advancing. So in the regionals, you just want everybody to advance. These become, I don't know if you want to call them weapons. You know, every athlete is a potential point if they advance. So anybody that advances to the NCAA now is a potential score. So for the regionals, all I'm worried about is just getting them to advance to the NCAA championship, qualifying in whatever event they're going to be in, and giving us an opportunity to put some points on the board. So completely different focus between the regionals and the NCAA. The NCAA, obviously, you want to see these bullets, these potential scorers become scorers, and that's what allows you to win an NCAA championship. But focus this weekend is, next week is going to be completely different. We want to stay healthy, and we want to just advance and qualify for the NCAA. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, I started to say it is kind of a contrast for you, isn't it, Coach? The fact you got these West preliminaries in Fayetteville, Arkansas, before you go to Eugene for the championships, on doing what you need to do to make sure you're qualified in what you want to be qualified for, without running the risk of somebody perhaps doing more than they're capable of doing, and perhaps suffering a setback as a result of that.
Yeah, I mean, we've made some strategic decisions when it comes time to who we're competing where, because the schedule for the NC and the schedule for the West Regionals are the same. So you can sort of predict how much can an athlete handle. And the good thing is we just have such a big team as far as like the high level success. So I don't have to take my 4, 5, 6 superstars and running them through 4, 5 events. I can sort of spread them out and put them in the events that they're really the best at, and giving them the chance to so basically stay away from injuries and whatnot. And that's kind of what we've done, just position ourselves to win an NCAA championship by making good, sound decisions on the best interest of the school, but also in the best interest of the student-athlete, because sometimes, you know, you just stretch an athlete too much as a coach and you pay for it. So we're just very fortunate that we didn't have to do that on this one, and I'm just looking forward to the meet. Hopefully everybody just, you know, knock on wood, stays healthy, and then take care of their business. And then we get out of there, and then we get some treatment, and we go back to the NCAAs.
We'll look forward to that. It's this weekend, the West Preliminaries, the Regionals in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then from June 8th to the 11th in Eugene, Oregon for the championships. Flo, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you this weekend. We'll look for great things, and then it'll be on the NCAAs, and we'll visit before the national meet. I appreciate you joining us.
Sounds awesome. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You betcha. All right, that's Coach Edric Floreal. Coach Flo, Texas men's and women's track and field, coming off winning the men's and women's outdoor championships of the Big 12, onto the regionals, the West Preliminaries, as they're officially entitled, in Fayetteville, Arkansas this weekend. And then after that, then it's on to the NCAA. Continuing with the notebook, Longhorn baseball and Longhorn softball and Axe Course Texas softball, speaking of NCAA regionals, in the Seattle regional. And Texas will take on Weber State tomorrow afternoon. And you can hear it on 105.3 The Bat, 4:15 airtime, 4:30 first pitch, Texas against Weber State. And Andrew Haynes will be on the call, that from the Pacific Northwest. And, of course, Longhorn baseball back in action tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to wrap up the regular season. That's because the Big 12 tournament begins next Wednesday in Arlington. So the Longhorns get ready to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. And Kansas is in the last place in the league standings and just hanging by a thread. Their hopes to try to get even into the field of eight into the Big 12 Conference Tournament. The odds are steeply stacked against that happening. But so much of the other focus has been on Ivan Melendez, what he's doing, hit his 26th home run of the night, now up to 80 RBIs. He's had some tremendous numbers put up. And yesterday, the media availability, he was asked about what all this means to him and how he's handling all of the renewed focus and attention on his pursuit of, say, you know, 2 home runs behind Kyle Russell's all-time single season record of 28 home runs, the RBIs, perhaps National Player of the Year, and how he folds that all into what he's trying to do for himself and for his team.
No, yeah, it's definitely life-changing. You know, I've never experienced anything like this. I've never, you know, had to deal with, you know, things like this, but I enjoy it because you know, they just show how supportive they are. I enjoy the fans. Some fan gave me a T-shirt yesterday. I thought that was pretty cool. It would mean everything to me, just knowing how many prestigious baseball players have played for this program. You know, like I said, I don't like spotlighting myself. I just want to win, go deep into playoffs, hopefully win a national championship, and go from there. I think it would be great to have, but, you know, I want to go deep in playoffs.
That pretty much explains it in a nutshell, and he's always been that kind of unassuming guy, and that's – and that's the way he wants it to go. And, you know, just to be ready to go. Pete Hansen, of course, will be on the mound for Texas. Daniel Hegarty will counter for Kansas. And Mike Harge will join me. Hardball Harge will join me.
Nice.
And, yeah. In fact, Ball Don't Live will broadcast for their show from UFC Udish Falk Field.
Rod Babers out at the dish?
He will. Now, for folks who are going out there, you won't get a chance to see. They're going to have an opportunity to escape the heat. They're going to be up
in
the
heat. Let's go kill Rod more than anything. He's a man of the people.
No, no. Yeah, but the heat might do more damage. So they're going to be up in the Longhorn Radio Network suite. They'll be up there and doing that. But, you know, here Longhorn's understanding, and we'll hear from David Pierce next hour about this. You don't want to try to get too far ahead of yourself and think, oh, we need a sweep, need a sweep. Chances are they're going to be in the 4-5 game no matter what they do this week. It could slide as far as 6 if they have a bad weekend. It's just the faintest of mathematical hopes to finish third, so it's probably going to be in the 4-5 game. But this is about continuing, starting to really get on a roll going into Arlington next week for the Big 12 tournament.
Let me say this real quick about Ivan Melendez. Two things. After the game Tuesday against Sam Houston, he stayed for a good 10, 15 minutes until he had to go inside because mm-hmm. they, you know, you got meetings and stuff you got to go to after the game.
Yep.
And signed as many autographs as he could, you know, taking pictures, do all that stuff. I haven't seen that crazy. Even with Cody Clemens, even when Cody was having his historic season, I don't remember the fans gravitate. The only thing I can compare it to since I've been on the Texas beat is the way I saw people react to Sam Ellinger. That's the only other Texas athlete I could compare it to in the time I've been covering the program. And I think it's awesome for the Hispanic and Latino communities to have kind of a superstar in this program that they can relate to. I mean, he talked yesterday about how his walk-up song, the Vicente Fernandez walk-up song, how he does that as kind of a tribute to his grandmother, and he takes pride in that. So I on so many levels, I think it's so awesome that this, not just the baseball program, but the athletic department, period, right, has a guy like Ivan Melendez that's having the kind of season he's having. And to see the fan reaction to him has been just, like I said, the only other thing I've seen that I could compare it to is how I saw people react to Sam Ellinger.
I like how Kevin Rodriguez said, Texas media relations contact for baseball, printed up a separate page now for the game notes just with Ivan. It says, Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic, his nickname. He ranks first nationally in batting average of .421, first nationally in home runs of .26, first nationally in slugging percentage of .942, first nationally in total bases with 179, ranked second nationally in RBIs with 80. The guy's number one is the guy for Sam Houston at 88, Carlos Contreras, and then ranks fourth nationally in on-base percentage at .537. So
it doesn't matter, Craig, if it's the Dick Houser Trophy, the Golden Spikes, the what National Player of the Year did Cody Clemens win? Was it the Baseball Coaches Association?
Yep.
Get him something so at some point he's got that number up on the wall with everybody else.
Absolutely. Well deserved. All right. Coming up, we have Inconceivable when we continue to light the tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable.
You keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, unfortunately, one thing it means is, you know, we've all talked about, use the phrase, blah, 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 blah. If I'm not run over by a train tomorrow, I'll be there. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened this morning in Austin.
Oh, no.
Man run over by a train. Yeah, it happened. Very early this morning. In fact, about 1 o'clock this morning.
Talking like one of those Cap Metro trains or like a big freight
train?
Well,
it was at 3rd Street in Lamar. Lamar and 3rd. Pronounced dead at the scene. It was not run over by a Cap Metro train, not at that hour. No, it was a Union Pacific freight train. The Texans are still working to find out why the man was on the tracks.
Dang.
Yeah. It's inconceivable when you think about that, to get run over by a train. But if you get out there, that can kind of happen to you.
You know, one of the things that just blows my mind that people do when I'm driving, Craig, and I like observing people, like, weird quirks they have when they drive.
Yeah.
People that stop on railroad tracks.
Yes.
Like, this is an active train track. Like, you can tell clearly and just stop on the tracks and just hang out for a little bit.
There's this public service announcement. It's recorded and run, and it's been on some of our broadcasts and network broadcasts. When I do games for Westwood One, we also have a drop-in that we read, and it says, you know, not to stop on train tracks. It said, don't stop. Trains can't.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. So, whether you're walking, riding, driving, whatever, don't stop on the train.
It's your public service announcement, courtesy of Light the Tower today.
Thank you.
Boys and girls.
Here's your other public service announcer, Snoop Daniel. The Mexican pizza, you can get it today now. Taco Bell has it. The Mexican pizza, it's available to the rest of the public today. It was the app users and stuff could have had exclusive access to the Mexican pizza the prior 2 days.
Snoop, what kind of hot sauce you put on it at Taco Bell? You go
fire.
With, like, the fire?
Yeah. Fire.
You go fire.
I don't go to the max.
Is it fire in, fire out kind of thing?
No. That's only with jalapenos.
Okay.
I had to think about that for a second.
Oh, the jalapenos give you the bubble guts?
If they're good, and I'm like, ooh, this is good.
But you know you're going to pay the price if you eat some jalapenos?
It's not that bad of a price. It's just
different. So you wouldn't file it under diminishing returns is what you're saying?
Well, that's good to know.
Where is this going?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. Curiosity killed the cat. I just want to know.
Yeah. So. So anyway, yeah, the Mexican pizza. It's available to you today. So you don't use the mild.
No.
There's mild, there's hot, and there's fire.
Fire.
Use the hottest one then.
Well, there's another one above fire. Yeah. I took a picture of it. I put it on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cabo Bob's has a sauce called Death.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it has 3 X's on it. Really good.
So, the Mexican
pizza.
Shout out
Cabo Bob's, by the way.
There you go. I got a couple other items here. One is, you know, I'm always interested in space, the final frontier.
Yes, you are.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, NASA's got all kinds of probes and satellites and explorers and things out there in space.
Always concerned me that NASA put a hub in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, that's where the Goddard Space Center is. That's where President Kennedy, shortly before, well, it was the same day that he made the big speech at Rice.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon and to do these things in this decade. These things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. I remember he was talking about that when he gave his famous speech at Rice. Mm-hmm. Why does Rice choose to play Texas? You know, there was that. That was all in that same deal.
It's a good JFK, by the way.
Thank you. He also visited the space and saw the early rocket boosters being tested for Apollo back in 1962. That's how long ago that was. But so they've had these crafts out in space for a while.